Open our Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We know that song well. I guess I'd never heard that song sung in this context, and the thought just occurred to me, I'm thankful that Emmanuel came so that that fountain filled with blood could be provided for our salvation. And that really is what the Christmas story is all about. It's not just about that babe in a manger, but the Lord of heaven, God with us, Emmanuel, coming to earth so that he could die on the cross for our sins, so that we as filthy, rotten sinners could be made whiter than snow. By the way, wouldn't it, all this rain that we've had over the past 24 hours, I've said it no less than a dozen times, it should have been a snowstorm, man. I was thinking, do you realize how much snow that could have been? It's coming, folks. Just hang on. It's coming. And it will come, and then it will go away, so it won't last forever. But we like snow in the South because when it snows here, everything stops, and I-26 gets quiet, which is really an eerie sound if you live right close to that interstate. But I look forward to those times. I'm praying that we might see some of that this winter. All right, we've digressed enough. Let's go to John chapter 15. This morning our text will be verses 18 through 25. John chapter 15 and verse 18. Let's read together down through verse 25. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessed time of fellowship that we've had already together. Thank you so much for Christian fellowship. Thank you for beautiful music and just how you minister to our hearts, to our spirits. We thank you for these rich spiritual blessings that we enjoy. Lord, we ask that throughout the remainder of this service, you would help us to honor you by giving heed to your word. We ask for the help of your spirit. Lord, you said that you delight to give the Holy Spirit to those that ask, and we ask, Lord, for his help and guidance this morning. May he be our guide and teacher to open our eyes, our hearts, to understand your truth. Please minister to each and every heart here today, and may you be honored by all that's said and done throughout the entirety of this Lord's Day. Please help Elijah and James as they minister to the children this morning. Give them grace and the filling of your spirit there to communicate your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can tell a lot about a person by their friends and by their enemies. True Christians are friends of Christ and of faithful Christians. But to seek the friendship of the world is to be an enemy of God. And being a friend of God will place us at enmity with the world. Now, in the preceding verses of this chapter, as we considered last week, Jesus had explained that as we abide in him and in his love, then we in turn will love him and we'll love one another. But this loving relationship between the Christian and Christ and between the Christian and fellow Christians is not going to make us the universal favorites in this world. Rather, as Jesus explains in our text this morning, those who love him and those who love the brethren can expect to be hated by the world, the world being understood to be the people who in this world live for and who are under the control and influence of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those who simply go along with the current of this world. If we love Christ, we will be hated by those caught up in that current. For our message this morning, we're going to explore this topic together, a love-hate relationship. A love-hate relationship as we see some of the dynamics in a Christian's relationship with the world. As we live in this world loving Jesus, how the world will respond to us. What we learn this morning is going to teach us that if we live as our Lord did while He was in this world, we can expect to receive the same treatment from the world as He received. And understanding this should help us in a number of areas, but one thing it should do is it should encourage us to be faithful as we understand that the world's hatred for us is not necessarily an indication that we're doing the wrong thing or going the wrong direction, but in fact, it should encourage us to know that we're on the right track. We're going the right direction. We're with the right crowd. And we ought to press on and be faithful in loving our Lord. So this morning, to guide our study, let's note three key ideas seen in our text regarding the world's hatred. We'll note, first of all, the reality of the world's hate. Secondly, the reasons for the world's hate. And then finally, the revealing in the world's hate. So let's begin in verse 18 with this thought, the reality of the world's hate. Jesus said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." Verse 20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." When Jesus said in verse 18, "If the world hate you," this was an understood condition for Christians living in this world. This is what may be expected. Just as the world hated Christ, so the world hates Christians, those who are like Jesus. As he further explains in verse 20, "The servant is not greater than his Lord." In other words, if the world hates our Lord, then we as his servants must not expect to receive better treatment from the world than he received. Just as the world rejected and persecuted Jesus Christ, so as we follow Him, will we be persecuted and rejected. Just as the world rejected Jesus' words, so will the world, by and large, reject our words, which we speak as witnesses for Jesus. The reality of the world's hate. This is real. This is what things are like in this present evil world. And it's important for us to recognize this and to remember it so that when we do face and receive the world's hate, we're not offended in our faith, because Jesus said, this is what you can expect. This is what the conditions will be for you in this world. Jesus Christ never promised that our experience in this world would be any different than his. He never said, you know, things have been difficult for me, but everything's going to be perfect and smooth for you. Oh, no. In fact, he said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." He did say, "In me ye shall have peace and be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." But we're going to have the world's hatred. The Christmas story illustrates that. I mean, the world had no room for Jesus, and it had no room for those who cared for Jesus. And the same thing is true today. The world has room for every pervert, every kind of weird ism and whatever, but the world has no room for Christ and no room for Christians. 1 John 3:13, the beloved apostle said, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." He said in chapter 4 and verse 17, as he is, so are we in this world. And what Jesus experienced is what we will experience. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. The reality of the world's hate. Secondly, the reasons for the world's hate. Verse 19, Jesus said, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because, there's a reason, because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. As Jesus infers in verse 19, the world loves its own. The world loves its own. The world loves those who think, speak, act, and look like them. Those who do the same things, go after the same goals, live with the same purposes, have the same motivation. The world loves that type of person. But when Jesus chose us, he chose us out of the world, not in the world, just as he saves us from our sins, not merely in our sins. And because Jesus chose us out of the world and we're no longer of the world, therefore the world hates us. True Christians are disliked by the world because true Christians are unlike those who are in the world. We're different. Those who've been called out of the world unto Jesus Christ have a new nature. We have new appetites. We have a desire for holiness and spiritual things. And that affects the way we think, the way we speak, the way we live, and even the way we dress. And because we do not conform to the world's norms, we are rejected as different and strange. The world hates us. And the more like Jesus Christ we become in every area of life, the more we will feel the hatred of this world, which is opposed to Jesus Christ. The world hated Christ, and the world hates those who are true Christians who are like him. 1 John 4, verses 5 and 6, John said, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. We march to the beat of a different drum. We are different. And therefore, that's one of the reasons why the world hates us. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Peter said, look, don't think it strange when you suffer for Christ's sake in this world, but understand this, they are going to think it strange because you don't run with them doing the same things. They speak evil of you. They hate you because you're not of the world. We are in the world, yes, but we are not of the world. James said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted by the world. Listen, when a Christian is not hated by the world, it is not because that Christian is somehow greater than his Lord, Jesus Christ. It is not because that Christian has found a better way of living so as to avoid the world's animosity. It is because that Christian has ceased to be Christ-like and has instead become worldly. Because the world loves its own, but this world hates Jesus Christ and those who are like him. The only way for a Christian to go undetested by the world is to go undetected in the world. And there is a way to avoid the world's hatred. It's just conform. Rather than going against the current of society, you just, like the dead fish, just float downstream with everyone else. But Paul said this in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all Not just some, not most. We believe in verbal inspiration of Scripture. Every word, jot, and tittle. Smallest accent mark. We believe God inspired it. And the Holy Spirit said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's reality. And the reason is because we're seeking to live godly in this present evil, ungodly world. John said in 1 John 3, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Just as Cain, that wicked one, hated and slew his brother Abel because he was righteous, so this wicked world hates those who are righteous. Verse 21. Jesus said, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So verse 21 gives us another because, another reason for the way the world treated Jesus and for why it will treat us the way it does. As Jesus explains in verse 21, a further reason for the world's hate is that they do not know God, simply put. You see, if they knew and loved the Father, they must then love the children. But when you don't love the Father, you don't have any particular love for the children. But you cannot hate God and love Christians, and you can't love God and hate Christians, but this world hates Christians because they don't know God. They don't know the Father, and so they don't love the children. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. The Father begat us, we're the ones begotten of him. And everyone that loves him that begat loves those that are begotten of him, but the opposite is true. And they will do these things unto us for Jesus' sake because they don't know the Father who sent him. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. That is, they had not had knowledge of their sin. They wouldn't have recognized it. But now they have no cloak for their sin. As Jesus also implies in verse 22, another reason for the world's hate is because he came and spoke to the world, taking away its cloak or its cover and thereby exposing its sin. In the same way, the world not only hates Christians because we do not conform to the world, but because by our lives and yes, by our words, what we speak, we confront and we convict the world, thereby uncovering its sin. Those living in the darkness of sin hate any light which exposes it. That's why they do it in the dark. They don't want to be exposed. But light exposes it, and the thing that exposes it and shames it becomes the object of hatred. This again is why, for example, there is a war against Christmas. I never understood that. I mean, here's this the most wonderful story, that the creator of the universe humbled himself, came to earth, was born in a manger, born in a stable, laid in a manger, in this humble situation, grew up, lived a sinless life, preached the truth, healed people, did good, and died on the cross, shed his own blood willingly to give us eternal life. I mean, what could be more beautiful than that? And yet the world says that message is offensive. We don't want to know about a God who died to save us from our sins. The world hates anything that points to Jesus Christ and exposes their sin. Anything that takes off the mask, anything that takes off the cloak and exposes it, becomes the object of hatred. The world does not mind conforming, condoning, concealing, and consenting Christians, but it hates those whose words and works are a rebuke to rebellion against God. And we have a choice to make then. There's an implied choice. As followers of Jesus, we must choose whether we will conform to the world or whether we will, by our words and works, confront it. We must decide whether we will be a friend of God at enmity with the world or a friend of the world at enmity with God. Again, John told us, hey, marvel not if the world hate you, my brethren, because it's just as Cain hated Abel. Why did Cain hate Abel? Because his works were righteous, and it exposed Cain's error, his rebellion against God. And so he killed him, wanted to get rid of him. James said to a group of Christians, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? It's a love-hate relationship. You love the world, the world's going to, or love the Lord, the world is going to hate you. If you love this world, God says, you're my enemy. Paul said in Philippians 3 that there was a group of people who were living as the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul told the church at Philippi many times, not just once, but on many occasions, he told them that, weeping, because they set their mind on the things of the world. So we have a choice. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? He says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Paul asks a rhetorical question, what concord hath Christ with Belial? The word for concord, or concord, however you pronounce it, in that verse, comes from the same term from which we get the word symphony. What symphony, what harmony hath Christ with Belial? Paul is describing, as Vance Havner called it, the impossible symphony. And that is impossible for a Christian to live in harmony with the world which hates Christ and at the same time walk in harmony with Jesus Christ. We'll either conform to the world or we'll be conformed to the image of Christ. We'll either be the friend of God or the friend of the world. But we cannot do both. We can live in harmony with the Lord Almighty and have His protection as our Father, or we can attempt to play a part in the impossible symphony of conforming to the world and then have God's anger. It's always interesting to me why Paul said, you know, come out from among them, I'll be a father unto you, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, why didn't he just say, saith the Lord? He said, the Lord Almighty, one who is all-powerful. That's the one whose side you want to be on. You don't want to be on the opposing side of the Lord Almighty. So you can choose. It's the world or Christ. Again, Vance Havner said, there is no symphony of Christ with Belial. When we try to harmonize them, we have not concord, but discord. To be a friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. And if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. We are not to effect a truce between Christ and Belial. We are out to issue an ultimatum. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. It is never Christ and. It is always Christ or. He that is not with me is against me. Finally, there's the revealing in the world's hate, or the revealing by the world's hate. Verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. In verses 23 and 24, we find this truth, that those who hate Jesus reveal that they hate God. For by his works, Jesus revealed that he was one with the Father, and by rejecting Jesus, the world showed that they hated God. The revealing and the hate. Now, this, of course, is no loss to God. Verse 25, Jesus said, "But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." The world's hatred for Christ, which is ultimately hatred for God the Father who sent him, is not only unjustifiable in that the fault is with the world, not with Jesus, but it is also a fulfillment of Scripture prophecy. In other words, by rejecting Christ without cause, people only serve to fulfill the very Scriptures which testify of him. God doesn't lose when the world hates him or hates Christians. Psalm 35:19, "Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause." Psalm 69:4, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head." That's Psalm 69, by the way, is a messianic psalm. Very specifically so. You can read other verses in that psalm and get that. They hated him without a cause, but it was a fulfillment of God's own word. Many times, again, as it was for Christ in this world, so we have that same experience. You say, "Man, they hate me without a cause." And why would somebody hate you for inviting them to church? I mean, what could be more hostile than that? Give a gospel tract to someone. "Hey, this will tell you how the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive you of your sins, take away all your sins, and give you eternal life." "Get out of here, nobody here!" How hateful, right? Without a cause, and the world merely reveals that they are in rebellion against God, period. But finally, we do need to understand and remember this sobering and sad truth, that though the world's hating Jesus is no loss to him, it means total loss for them. For those who do not in truth love the Lord Jesus Christ will be accursed at his return. This world said, "We have no room for Jesus Christ." And there's coming a time when God the Father will say, or God the Son will say this, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I have no room for you." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:22, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, let him be accursed, Maranatha, at the coming of our Lord." May I ask you this morning, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ, or do you love the world? Do you love the Lord, or do you love the world? Do you love Christ? Do you love other Christians? John said, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." That's one of the transformations that takes place. When you are adopted into the family of God, you not only love the Father, but you love the other children in the family. That's the way it works in God's family. I can remember even as a young person, never really being comfortable at church. I was always backward and still am in many ways, and shy or whatever, however you want to describe that. And I didn't particularly like going to church. In fact, I would be happy to avoid it anytime I could, anytime I could get away with it. But after I was born again and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord, something changed. And I love being in church. I really do. You say, "Well, you're the preacher. You have to be." Listen, before I was a preacher, so to speak, I loved being in church. I was there every time the doors were open, if I was physically able. And even sometimes when I wasn't physically able, I was there. Why? Because I love God's family. Can you say the same thing? That's God's work in us, by the way. Can you say this morning, "I love the Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you." A love-hate relationship. A true Christian will have a love-hate relationship with this world. We must be as our Lord was in this world, loving and living for him, exposing sin, and being willing to bear hatred and persecution for his sake. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that there is no surprise in this matter that we are considering this morning. You told us, you told your first disciples, and you've reminded us that the hatred of this world is simply a reality. It's the way things are down here, as the old spiritual put it. They treated you mean. They treat us mean, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us to follow you. Help us never to be guilty of hiding our light, of trying to conform to this world, of keeping silent. Help us to speak. Help us to live. Help us to shine the light of Jesus Christ in this world. Even during this holiday season, may we be that light that points others to Jesus. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question? Have you responded to the Lord Jesus Christ calling you out of your sin, out of the world, out of slavery to this world, to come to Jesus? Have you responded? Have you repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your Lord? Is there anyone here today that would say, "Preacher, that has never happened in my life, but today I recognize that's exactly what needs to happen"? And right here, right now, as best as I know how, I'm saying, "Yes, Lord, I want you to save me from my sins. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior." Is there anyone that would raise their hand and say, "Yes, that's the decision I'm making today"? By raising my hand, I'm saying, "I want to receive Jesus Christ today." Anyone at all? All right, Christian, are you as your Lord was in this world? Are you like him? Are you receiving the same treatment in this world as he did? Would you this morning commit yourself to loving Jesus Christ, living fully for him, even if it means being hated by the world? Father, please strengthen us today and in the days ahead to love you and to live for you. May we not be ashamed of you in this world, so that you'll not be ashamed of us when you return in your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.